Praise God. You didn't welcome me, oh. So. Or you want to do my head, my shoulder, my knee, my toe? Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we give you all the glory and praise. We thank you for yet another opportunity to gather under one roof, to gather as your people, to gather to listen to your word. We give you all the praise. Thank you because indeed you will take preeminence. Everything that you have us understand, everything that you will have us imbibe, your spirit will shed light upon it in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Okay. Hallelujah. This evening, we will look at how to become more creative. Okay. Ordinarily, as human beings, we are creative. Okay. We are creative. And how do I say that now? How do I explain it? When we were born, okay, it's not everything that we do now that we could do. It's not every one of us, every human being you come across that can write, right? Then you go through some training, and then suddenly you are able to write. And then these days they tell you there's creative writing. They do a lot of writing. Then some people came up with cursives. And that's why you have on the computer different fonts, okay? But ordinarily, without the help of the computer, a human being could do anything he wants to do as long as he puts his mind to it. So that's why I said how to be more creative, because ordinarily, we are that way. Hallelujah. Ordinarily, we are that way. So if you look at it, and ordinarily, we tend to shape our world, okay? So my world is this, my sphere of contact, or whatever it has to do with me as a person. That's what I am referring to as my world. Ordinarily, we tend to shape it, okay? So we are creative. And what do I mean? You are born, and then, okay, let me just say when I was born, okay? And then I decide I don't like school, okay? I like to play, okay? I'm shaping things. I put these things in shape, okay? And then I discovered that, instead of playing, let me just do a little bit of more reading, and then I want to be an engineer, okay? I just don't want to be an engineer because I want to be an engineer. It's because I've had encounters with certain things that had caught my attention, okay? And I said, I have interest in this thing, and then I begin to go in that way. And it was that creative. You know, Dekuma Golo? Look at me. The regular trap, the one we used to make with Milotin. Ah, Jesus Christ. Oh God. I'm sure Setman knows Dekuma Golo. You don't know Dekuma Golo? I said it's just like a trap, the one you use for your mouse or whatever. So the regular one is the one you pull back and then you put a piece of meat and something. So while we were growing up, we thought of it that instead of going through we don't want that thing to die or to be injured, okay? So we take the big tin of Milo, okay, and set a trap in such a way that it will run into it and then the lid closes. So it's Dekuma Golo. So the Eku is inside the Agolo, and then the Agolo covers up and it cannot, because of the rubbers that we have used to secure the lid, it cannot come out. So, I mean, I'm just trying to tell you that ordinarily, okay, without knowing it, that's how we're born. We are creative, okay? That one is intentional, okay? Then suddenly I'm like, oh no, I want to become an electrical engineer. And then we can begin to do what is electrical engineering all about, you know, and then you begin to find out. And then what will I do with this electrical engineering? And then you come back and say, okay, with this electrical engineering, I want to have a family. Then you begin to decide what your family will look like, right? Everything you are creating in your mind, and then you are working towards that goal, right? So that's why I said that it's not that we are not creative ordinarily, but you need to be more creative. The instances that will come to you that you have to be more creative is the natural way for a man to be creative. So everybody bows his head and like, oh, there's nothing to do. But if you look at it, there is actually a lot to be done. Imagine if we are pretended that Dekumagolo, now you'll be able to, you will know that name, Dekumagolo. Hallelujah. Very interesting. When we were growing up, these children are missing. They don't know that they are missing. But those things are fun, right? Like, we have a farm, a maize, and then you keep watch on it. Even if it's one cob, you are so happy. You take it, you boil it, and then, in fact, sometimes you don't want to boil it. You want to be like the woman at the roadside. Then you decide you want to roast it. Hallelujah. Amen. So the things we see, it draws our attention. We want to do something or something better. Okay? That's the nature of man. That's the nature that was born and we were birthed with. In Genesis chapter 1, voice say, I'm not reading the scripture now. I know an interesting thing happened while I was trying to do this. You can see I'm here with a book. It hasn't happened in years. As I was preparing my notes, it was just more convenient for me to write it than to use the tab. Amazing. And maybe because I've been writing all week, so I found it more fun writing. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, from verse 1, Genesis 1, from verse 1. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and morning were the first day. Then in verse 6 it says, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, let it divide the waters from the waters. Then God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let there be waters under the heavens. Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Hallelujah. Amen. And God kept creating. And in verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the origin of man. That's where man came from. I read it from the beginning so you understand. So you don't get too familiar with the word of God. Sometimes you get too familiar, you don't say, I know that. I know Genesis 1, verse 1. I don't need to read it. But then if you read it again and again, it will make sense to you the more. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit was always here with you, attending to your needs, and ever ready to expound the word of God to you. So if you read Genesis 1:1 today, it will not have the same meaning to you tomorrow. I can bet you. Hallelujah. Amen. But verse 26 caught my attention. He said, then he said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Hallelujah. Amen. So God's image. So I had to go into the dictionary and say, what exactly is image? And it talks about the external appearance or an artist's impression, so physical. So this image that you see, the head, the arm, the leg, okay? So that's God's image. And look, truly, God was not talking to himself. He said, let us. So it wasn't alone. Hallelujah. Amen. He was not alone. Okay? And the things he did in Genesis 1, from Genesis 1, 1 to Genesis 1, 26, were very deliberate. Hallelujah. So to me, there had been a thought process. Okay? So he has seen everything void. There had been a thought process. And he decided, let there be light. Let me see something. Okay? Hallelujah. So you'll have perceived. So let me even see some things. So he thought of light and he thought of every other thing. And he was putting things in place in sequence until he made man. Okay? And then let's make him in our image. And so the dictionary meaning of the image I got was a representation of the external form of a person or in art. Hallelujah. Representation of the external form of a person or a thing in earth. So this is we are the representation of the external form of God. So it doesn't mean that this is his face. Hallelujah. It means that this is his form. Hallelujah. Amen. But you can brag and say, I was made in God's image. And you can always say that this is what God looks like. Hallelujah. And then he said that he was made in his likeness. Okay. The likeness, in the way the Bible uses it, comprises of the qualities of God. The likeness is the qualities of God. Okay, so you have the image and then the qualities of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why I started from Genesis 1:1. He saw that it was void. Okay, everything was in disorder. And then he chose to put order and then he started with light. So that he can place things where they ought to be. And that's how we start life. Every time, you need to know where you're going. Okay? Where am I going? Where am I headed for? And then you begin to set things in place. Even when, from the day you were born, whether you know it or not, things begin to happen. You begin to set things in place. Because by the time you're 5'4", and then don't do things, you want to do it, you know? If you look at those boys that play trance, they start from that age. Abi? Yeah, they start from that age. Don't sit down, they won't sit down. Stand up, they won't stand up. Hallelujah. Amen. When I was in school, I told you I have several names. I think when I was in GS2, my name, I was skipper. I was captain of the team. So we'll go and play football, okay? Soccer. We'll go and play football during break. And then we were supposed to return to class just before break time. But we never made it to class. We never made the class on time. We were always late. You understand? We were always late. So one this particular day, we were supposed to have a Yoruba class. I remember very well. Yoruba class. And we were like, Yoruba now, what are we going to do? Yoruba, we are speaking. So we kept playing and playing. And then all of a sudden, we saw that everywhere was calm. You know, when break is over, it's gradually that everybody diffuses. So we just saw that we are the only ones left too. So we carried. We looked at it and went, wow. Then we went to class. And then we could not all enter the class with the ball. Everybody was like, cannot carry this into the classroom. The teacher is going to be mad at us. We have been playing ball. And I looked at them and I said, what? So I carried the ball, kept it under my arm. And I told them, go in. And then they walked in. And of course, every other person went to their seat. And the teacher said, come here. You are the bold one. So you are their skipper. I said, yes, ma. So all through my year for JS2, everybody will call me skipper. Even the teacher will say, skipper, oh yeah, tell us this. But I'm saying that we choose. Okay? We choose. It's not at when we are 18, 19, 20 that we make those choices. And that's not when you begin to shape the things that is appearing in front of you. It is at that very from day one. Some children come into this world and they are just peaceful. Some come and they are just naughty. Hallelujah. They are just naughty. You cannot carry, not everybody can carry them. Abi, it's not his fault. I don't blame those children. You have to look at it two ways. I remember one of my father-in-laws. I have many father-in-laws. So I remember one of them. He was called to school that his son was misbehaving. And then he got to school and the teacher was like, this boy is just naughty. He doesn't sit there. He was all the negative words that you can say. He was just telling the father that this is what this boy is. And then the man said, calm down. He must be like somebody in the family. And you are talking to one of us. So it's either he's like me or like my wife. So all these things you are saying, please calm down. So everybody, so we begin to do all those things. Unknowingly, unconsciously, we are creating our world. Right? So we do that. We do it. And then it comes to make a choice. What do you want to do, become in life? We make a choice. I remember when they said, GS3, you start carpentry if you don't pass, blah, blah, blah. I did not want to be a carpenter. And which was the second one? I think there were three. I said, no, I don't want to be. So I decided that GS3, I will read. So I read. And then finally, they said, okay, you can go to the SS1. But I'm saying that we have that innate ability to decide how our world is going to look like. Okay? Even from the physical, we decide. Okay? So, and it's not because we chose it. That's the way we were created. We are created in God's image and God's likeness. But what happens along the line? We become used to it. We get so used to it. We get used to doing things. Okay? We get used to the fact that things happen. You want time one or two. You can fix things yourself. And then we just forget our origin. Hallelujah. We get used to things happening and say, oh, it's just a natural way of things to go. It's just a natural thing to happen. But the truth of the matter is that it's not just natural. It's because you were created after a particular likeness. And that God's likeness is about creation. Hallelujah. It's about creativity. So you cannot now sit down in that shell, in that cocoon, and be like, things happen to me. They just happen. Okay? That's why I say you have to be more creative. We have been creative to a point. Hallelujah. Then you have to burst out in the realization of who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. In Romans, I think it's chapter 1. Romans 1, I don't know, I'm going to read from verse 20. Yes. It says, for since the creation of the world, its invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even its eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So God's invisible attributes are clearly seen since the creation of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. So those attributes, that likeness, okay, since the creation of the world, they are clearly seen. So nobody has an excuse. You can tell, okay? You look at the wonders of the... I mean, if you don't have to travel outside Nigeria to see things. Do you have to? If you go to nearby Ogun State, have you been to Olumo Rock? I've not been there. If you go to Olumo Rock, for instance, so that you can go there, let me tell you. If you go to Olumo Rock, for instance, you meet the tour guides, and then they'll tell you about the rock. They'll tell you that rock is a lady that is lying down, okay, with her hair flowing, and then they'll show you the shape of her head from the side view, and then they'll show you the breast, the abdomen, and the rest on top of the rock. And you look at, and they'll tell you that rock has been like that ever since. Not etching, not doing anything. It cannot be man. Hallelujah. That's a rock. It's a natural, even the devil believes that the rock is the handiwork of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Even the atheists know that this rock, there's no argument about this rock. Okay? And then you look at the shape, and then man can look at it and say that this is a woman lying down. And then they make a story out of it. So if you want to hear the rest of the story, you find a way to Olumo Rock. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, and then there was a day someone sent a picture to me. Very, very fantastic lift. I don't know how to describe it. But it looks like a 100-story building. That is the lift. And then like 4 or 5 of it. So the lift goes right into the earth. So there's a lot of hill mountain around it. But what you want to see is the top of the mountain. And then they decided that instead of man walking and finding it stressful, sometimes He said it takes about 7 days to climb up to that mountain to see all the natural things you want to see. So they created, and man sat down and thought of it and created that lift. And so in like 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you are up. Something that would take 7 days. It just occurred to me now. If I had brought the video, I would have shown you. But when you see the things that God created, so it's not even the lift that's fantastic. It's the fact that the mountain is that deep, and then you can see vegetation all around it, and then there's still on top of it, there's still life that people went go to see. That's the work of God. And that's how creative God is. Okay? And that's how I have been made. Hallelujah. That's how you have been made. There's no limit to what God can do. Hallelujah. Amen. It's man that limits God. Okay? We are the ones that see impossibilities where there is none. Hallelujah. I say none in quotes, because if you are with God, you will see no impossibility. Amen. Hallelujah. So, he says that those invisible attributes of God. And so you begin to look at everything around, just begin to wonder, and you see a lot of things. And then you say, how did these things come to be? I mean, just look for instance when a child is born. And then you see all of a sudden the child is like this. And then you might, how did it happen? It's just God. Amen. So we on the inside are creative. We have the ability to create things. Hallelujah. But then we also have God's backing. Amen. Hallelujah. And you see, some people say, when God was saying it, his angels were doing things. They were putting things in order. And so, I don't have such. Some people argue. You know, nothing you say that people don't argue about. There's nothing you see that they don't argue about. That's why to every discussion, there's always an argument. Somebody will always have something on the contrary. People never look at things plainly. Hallelujah. Amen. But even if you say there's something about the angels, are you making use of the angels that God has given to you? Amen. You know, during the resurrection, the Bible says that when the soldiers came in the morning, they had met the stone was rolled away, and then someone was sitting on the stone with eyes like lightning. And when I was growing up, I was told that it was Angel Michael that was sitting there. He's the only angel, he's the angel of fire, he's the one of fury. That's what I was told. I don't know. And then they said I was born on St. Michael's Day. Hallelujah. So that's why sometimes you see that I have fire. So it's not my fault. I was born on Angel Michael's Day. You know Angel Michael's Day? So if you don't know, you don't know. Hallelujah. Amen. And truly, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a military man. It was my mom that discouraged me. I wanted to go to military school. I wanted to just sit down and everybody sits down. Stand up and everybody stands up. Hallelujah. But still, we thank God for his life, for the life he has given us. Amen. Hallelujah. So I was saying that. So, are we making use of those angels that he has given to us? The Bible records that the angel of the Lord, okay, they are strong, they are mighty, and they excel in strength. That's what I wanted to talk about when I mentioned the fact that the stone was rolled away. Because the stone that those soldiers put there, a lot of soldiers rolled that stone to the mouth of the grave. But it took only one angel to move it out. Because the Bible writes about their attributes as the ones that are strong. Okay, Psalm 103 verse 20.
I hope I'm right too.
Yes. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Hallelujah. If you will be more creative, then you need to look at this part of the scripture. Another part of the scripture we mentioned. He says they excel in strength, they do his word, the word of God, okay, and then they aching unto the voice of the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's technicality of language. Right? So the angels, they heed to the voice of his word. So all they need is a voice. Okay? It does not say that they heed to God's voice. Hallelujah. It says they heed to the voice of his word. So all they need is a voice that speaks the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So it doesn't, my voice, your voice, as long as that voice is speaking God's word, okay, the angels are going to heed. Hallelujah. So if anybody is going to say in Genesis chapter 1, God was creating, the angels were setting it. You too, say, speak the word, you too take it, speak God's word, and then the angels will heed. That's what the Bible says. And the scripture doesn't lie. Hallelujah. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 1, this is the part I like most. Hebrews 1 and verse 14. It says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Amen. In case, so that you won't be like, I'm just assuming that they are angels. In verse 13, it says, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? And who are those that have inherited salvation? We are the ones that have inherited it. Hallelujah. Amen. But it says the angels, are they not ministering spirits? Hallelujah. Amen. And so while I was looking, it says to minister is to serve. Okay? Like waiting a table. Hallelujah. When I saw that thing, waiting a table. It's not waiting on a table. It's waiting a table. So what it means is that the angels are ever ready on the standby. Okay, so it's like you're at lunch or dinner, okay? And when you enter the dining room, the waiters come. Especially when you go to these Chinese, whatever, they come and they ask you what you want, okay? And then they go get it. And then you find out that some 3-5 meters away, it stands there. So when you look around, it's like, oh, I'm here. That's what happens. I mean, there are a few times I've been an opportunity to go there. I mean, that's what happens. And they hear, oh, I'm here. And if you want to pick anything, it's there and ready to pick it. It says, are they not ministering spirits? Okay, so that's to minister. Wait on the table. So the angels are ever ready. Okay? But they need the command of the voice of the word of God. Hallelujah. So you need to, okay, you need to be careful how you are living life so that you don't live life recklessly. I know there was, I think, three Decembers ago, we had this program about creating your world. The only way to recreate your world is by the word of God. The Bible has said it in Psalm 103, that they heed unto the voice of the word of God. In Hebrews chapter 1, they are ministering spirits. It's not just to everyone. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not just for everyone. It says for those who will inherit salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's a clear demarcation. Because if you do not understand it, you will not be able to work with it. Amen. So man is creative. Hallelujah. Man has a power that backs him up. Amen. The voice of the word of God, the word of God is important in every man's life. And every man needs to speak the right things. Always. Amen. Hallelujah. So with the angels that are able to minister, it says they are sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. So we are ready. We know that we have people that will attend to us. So ordinarily we think of angels as they come and tell you, oh thou son, they bring messages. Okay, they come and destroy. Hallelujah. But this is another thing you need to look at. They are waiting for you to say things so that they can set things in motion. Amen. Hallelujah. So even while there's a thinking process, there is also supposed to be a saying. That's it. Amen. There's a thinking, there has to be a saying. So you think, then you say. Hallelujah. You think, Your thoughts then become words, and those words has to be embedded in God's word. That's when the angels can move. I am not preaching about angels. I'm just saying that you can create your world, but you can do more creating your world. Hallelujah. Let's not leave. You know, some people say it's a natural course, like a river. When the river is flowing, it just keeps going. And whatever it meets on its way, it either slows down the river or accelerates the river or stops it totally. So that's why the river has the upper course, the middle course, and the lower course. So in the upper course, you find the mountains because the river is very active in the upper course. You find the mountains. So it's coming and it's eroding, it's cutting rocks, different mountains. And then in the middle, it slows down. And then I've forgotten the name of the things you have there. And then at the end, you have a delta because everything that he has brought with it is now like powder, and you have a delta. Okay? So don't live your life like that. You need to be. So the river does not have a choice. It's as it's going. It's whatever it meets that determines where it's going. But you can do something better. Hallelujah. So even with because we are just born, and then we begin to move in this world. And then the guy knows that he has to go to bed, he has to wake up, he has to eat. I mean, if a child decides not to eat, it changes the physiognomy. If he decides not to eat, before now, I used to be bigger than this. I think it was in September, I just chose that, no, I don't want to be this big anymore. So I decided that I changed my diet, and then my physical form changed. Hallelujah. Amen. And the same thing can happen, or should happen. You have to be more spiritual and more deliberate in creating your world. Hallelujah. You are creative. Know it, whether you like it or not. If you look at your toenails, is the way you want them that they are now. Abi? If you look at your fingernails, is the way you want them that they are now. The ones that you have designed with your teeth, that's how they are. So if you see some people's fingernails entering the bed, it's true now. You are laughing. I'm just telling you how creative man can be. The ones that say it's hygiene, don't eat it. They want it to look nice. The people that have eaten it, just go and look at them. You find out that the nail is inside the bed, and then the bed is sitting on top of the nail. You say, this is how you have designed your own finger. If you want your finger to look better, you know what to do. And then you begin to shape it. And that's why some people say they are doing pedicure and manicure. I don't understand. Amen. But because some people have seen a need, and see, truly, when you begin to create your world, you begin to see needs, and then you begin to plug in and meet those needs. And then you find out that there's not anything that you call lack anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So, the other thing we need to know is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 16. Says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. We have the mind of Christ. Amen. And we know, and I pointed it out then, that it was not just God that was speaking when he said, let us. He was talking to people when he said, let us. The Bible says, we have the mind of Christ. So, if we have the mind of Christ, the Bible also says, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me, right? So, if we have the mind of Christ, there is not a limit to our creativity. So, if there are needs in this life, okay, when you pray, because you cannot take that part out of it, when you pray, then the Lord will drop things in your heart, okay? Because you have the mind of Christ, you are able to absorb it and you are able to work with it. Hallelujah. And that's why you see that every day, people come up with things and you'll be like, wow, I never thought of that. It's because those ones have chosen to listen and have chosen to follow their inner man to get to where they want to be. So we have a lot of needs. Okay. But people are meant to meet those needs. I'm not saying people are meant to give you money. Hallelujah. Amen. People are meant to meet those needs. The people that are making money, they are making money because they are meeting needs. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't let the world system say that we are lazy. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we know better. Okay? We are the ones that will inherit, that have inherited salvation. We know better. We have the angels to command. Hallelujah. We have the word of God to lead us. So we have to look on the inside and be like, what is he telling me now? Amen. Hallelujah. We have to look on the inside. In the book of Job, right, he says that you have put me together with flesh. I think it's Job chapter 11. Job 10 verse 11. Yeah. Says, clothe me with skin and flesh, and knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and favor. So he has clothed you with bones and flesh. So the flesh and the bones, that's not you. He says he has knit you together with bones and sinews. That's not you as well. Because the you has been clothed inside the bones and the sinews. Hallelujah. So this is just a casing. The physical thing we are seeing is just a casing. Okay? And when we get born again, the spirit man, that's the inner man, is the one that gets born again. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why you find out there's war. Because the spirit is born again. The clothing that is the flesh is used to a lifestyle. And then you have to subject it to what the inner man wants. The inner man must always win. Hallelujah. Amen. I said must always win. Because it's a choice thing. God has given us that ability to choose. Okay? You can decide what you want to do. But he has said it. Decide. This is this way. This is this way. Decide what you want to do. That's why you must make the inner man win all the time. Because the inner man is your conscience. Is your spirit man. And is the one that tells you what to do. I say we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. So you cannot sit down and you should not be sitting down and be like, there's nothing to do. Amen. You should not be sitting down and be like, you are stuck. Amen. That means you are not stretching that mind of Christ that is on inside of you. Hallelujah. It takes a lot of training to get there. Okay? Things will not happen. It has to happen that you have trained yourself and you're able to get there. Train yourself in the word of God. You have to be skilled in the word of God. But you know that word, you need to say it so that you can send these angels that are waiting on the earth. Hallelujah. So if you want to begin to create a world, just try it. Just try it. Amen. You know when people, I find it amazing each time they do the Olympics or throughout the year, athletics meet happen. And then the same set of people go and run. The same set of people. So I'm like, what's the catch? We know that this one is faster than this one. and we know that this one is also faster than this one. So why they just want to entertain us? Of course, they will earn money and all that. But you know what? I discovered later on that the organizers of those competitions, what they do, they tell you when everybody finishes running, even though they hail the first man, then they put there. So let's assume Tebelelua came first. He gets gold. They put their Muiwa personal best in all his life. That's what they put. Or they put Muiwa season best. So when they say personal best, that means that's the best that I've ever done in all your life. So if I run 100 meters and I make 100 meters in 10 seconds and they put PB, that's personal best. That means all my life that they have been timing me, this is the best I've done. Now, if I run 100 meters and they put SB, it's season best. That means this year, this is the best that I have done. Okay, so what happens? Every man looks at those things, although they want to come first, but they look at those things and they are happy themselves that, you know what, this is my season best. You know what, this is my personal best. Did I make my personal best? So that's otherwise, well, I won't, if it's me, I won't go and be running with Usain Bolt every 3 months. That I know that he probably will give me 10 meters gap. What am I looking for? But he looked at it that you must be better than where you were. Hallelujah. You must be better than where you were. And if you have to be better than where you were, you have to lay hold of the word of God. Hallelujah. And put it to use. Now, the man that searches, goes to search out the word of God, okay, is because that man already believes that there is something in that word that will help him. Amen. Hallelujah. You know some people, they search the word too that they can argue. But don't forget, that word is ever fruitful. So they go to the Bible and look at it and search it so that they can come and argue. But that word that he has gone to search is a seed that he has sown. And he cannot go free because that word was work. And so when he sees it and he's arguing, he's saying it. Hallelujah. So they are saying it, but it's at work on the inside of them. Amen. But for you and I, we have that word. So when we search out the word, we don't just look at the word. Then we begin to speak that word to recreate our world. Amen. We begin to speak it to recreate our world. And then go the extra mile by asking the ministering spirits and sending them on errand. Amen. You know, one day one man said, somebody said he saw money on his bed. He said, you should go and check the number if it's from the CBN. That's how people argue blindly. Amen. That's how people argue blindly. But you see, we don't need to follow those ones, because to them that are perishing, the word of the cross is craziness. Hallelujah. But to us that have been saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So if your life will change, you need to search those words out, begin to speak them, and see things come alive. Hallelujah. Amen. In Colossians 3:2, the Bible talks about you setting your mind and keeping your mind on things that are above. Okay? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, get up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought upon you. Hallelujah. You have the mind of Christ, but your mind was not born again when your spirit man became born again. Hallelujah. And that's how the Bible says in Romans, in the book of Romans, that you have to renew your mind. Hallelujah. And that's why it says, get up the loins of your mind. So you need to deliberately guard it. And you cannot guard it by your own. You need to guard it by God's word. Hallelujah. And then Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen. You can endure all things through Christ that strengthens you. Hallelujah. But you see, when this process is ongoing, okay? When this process is ongoing, the results may seem that they are not coming. But don't forget the story of the Chinese bamboo. And don't forget the fact that there's always a process to everything. And there's a progression. Hallelujah. There's a process and a progression. When a child is born, we all just forget about it. And then suddenly we're like, wow, he's crawling. And suddenly we're like, wow, he started walking. And suddenly, you'll be like, wow, is it in this class, is it in that class? Why? Because we have not put our mind to it. But there's a progression in these things. Hallelujah. You have to continue to do the things that you know you ought to do so that you can see the end result. Amen. Philippians 4:8 talks about whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and those things that are of good report. If there's any virtue, if anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Hallelujah. And it just simply says one thing, that wherever you are, it doesn't mean that everything that comes to you is pure. It doesn't mean that everything that comes to you is good. But you have to be deliberate about the things you meditate upon. Hallelujah. You have to be deliberate about the things you decide to ponder on, because it's what you ponder on that your mind will grab. Hallelujah. So if you ponder, and that's why, you see, when people preach, and they've been preaching for a long while, when you press them, the word of God comes out effortlessly. Because that's what their mind is stayed on. Hallelujah. So before you see someone that is preaching the word, that's consistently preaching the word, to say, is this thing is not possible,
is never going to happen. Because what he has been loaded with is the fact that he works with a God that has no limit, and there's no limit to what he can do. And he knows and he understands that he himself is in the image of God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So we can be better with the things around us. We can be better with the things that we experience. Okay? If only we look deep inside. But tell me one thing. Your inside cannot be devoid. It has to be filled with the word of God. Lord, will help us in Jesus' name. Let's rise on our feet.
Let us thank God. Thank him for the things that you have learned, the things you received and heard, the things that he has dropped in your heart even as you're listening to this word. Since whatever things are pure, I mean, you cannot be in his presence and not have one tangible thing that you take away. Thank him, because indeed the God of peace will be with you, it will abide with you. And those things, as you begin to use the word of God, begin to see changes, progression in your life. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you, we adore you, we magnify your name. Thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you most especially for this time. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.